It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, neither side blinked. So the House, late Monday, postponed a planned vote on advancing a $3.5 trillion budget resolution. It's a key part of President Biden's economic agenda. But there's a group of ten conservative Democrats. They gained a member in Stephanie Murphy of Florida. Anyway, they were the holdouts, refusing to agree on a path forward for the budget resolution and a separate bipartisan infrastructure bill. So the House reconvenes on Tuesday when they'll try to strike a deal to get this thing going. The Senate has already approved the infrastructure bill and the larger budget blueprint. The 10 Democratic holdouts, led by Representative Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, are demanding that the House pass the bipartisan bill before they authorize the Democrats to write the larger package. But Nancy Pelosi, with Biden's approval, tied the bills together to keep both sides of the party invested in this success. Leaders are now hoping to put the rule to a vote on the floor around noon on Tuesday. We'll see. This one's precarious. Turning to Afghanistan, a Taliban spokesman on Monday warned the U.S. not to leave any troops in Afghanistan after the August 31st deadline for a full withdrawal, saying that would be crossing a red line that would amount to, quote, extending occupation. President Biden has said he'd consider keeping some military forces in the country beyond the deadline to ensure that all Americans could be evacuated. Despite the harsh criticism of the evacuation efforts by the media, it's actually going better than expected. The latest set of evacuation numbers are impressive. From 3 a.m. Eastern Time Monday to 3 a.m. Eastern Time Tuesday, 21,000 people were evacuated from the Kabul airport, 12,700 on U.S. military flights, plus 57 coalition flights carrying 8,900 people. That brings the total to 58,700 evacuated since August 14th, and 63,900 people evacuated since the end of July, and not one casualty. President Biden has to decide by Tuesday whether to extend the August 31st deadline. Meanwhile, Biden is convening the G7 leaders Tuesday in an emergency summit to discuss this August 31st deadline. It's expected that a few international leaders, including British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, are likely to encourage President Biden to extend that deadline. About 6,500 people are still waiting at the Kabul airport for evacuation flights, and countries are still trying to figure out how to accommodate incoming Afghan refugees. Well, this could help. The CEO of Airbnb, Brian Chesky, called the situation one of the biggest humanitarian crises of our time, and he pledged free housing for 20,000 refugees. And now, The Washington Post is reporting that CIA Director William J. Burns held a secret meeting Monday in Kabul with the Taliban's leader, Abdul Ghani Baradar. It's the highest-level face-to-face encounter between the Taliban and the Biden administration since the militants seized the capital. Well, at midnight Monday night, Andrew Cuomo's resignation as governor of New York took effect. A few minutes later, Kathy Hochul was sworn in as the new governor, making her the first woman in New York history to hold that job. It also makes New York the largest state in American history to be led by a woman. By the way, Andrew Cuomo's last tweet as governor was about his dog, saying that the reports are false, that he and Captain are a team, and Captain's going nowhere without him. Oh, and at 12:01 a.m., just 1 minute after Cuomo left office, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio tweeted a photo of the New York City skyline with a five-word caption, "Greatest city in the world." All righty then. So the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection has been working. We learned on Monday that they're seeking electronic records related to the attack, including phone records from members of Congress. More specifically, they seem to be looking into a series of calls between those Republican members, including Jim Jordan and Kevin McCarthy, and former President Trump. The U.S. Capitol Police Office of Professional Responsibility on Monday determined that the conduct of the officer who shot and killed January 6th rioter Ashley Babbitt was lawful and within department policy. which says that an officer may use deadly force only when the officer reasonably believes that action is in defense of human life, including the officer's own life, or in the defense of any person in immediate danger of serious physical injury. Obviously, the officer was protecting Congress. The department said that the officer will not be named out of consideration for the officer's safety. So the Food and Drug Administration on Monday granted full formal approval for the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine. This makes the Pfizer vaccine the first to win that designation in the U.S., potentially opening it up to more businesses and schools who can now impose vaccine mandates. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.